In 2 days' time is celebration of Sri Radhashtami. Right, sit down. Sit comfortably. Srila Prabhupada was usually cautious in discussing Radha. He didn't give long lectures on Radha Tattva. Sometimes on Radhashtami, there are some of the lectures he gave on those days, he'd give a regular lecture discussing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And at the end he would say, today is Radhashtami, take shelter of Radharani. He didn't go into much detail in his books. He taught that Radha, Shrimati Radharani, he usually used the name Radharani. He used this name. There are various names. Radha, Radhika, Rishabhanu Nandini, Vrindavani, Shri. There are so many names. Srila Prabhupada usually used this name. Radharani, Queen Radha. So in his books, he has discussed the position of Radharani, sometimes in his lectures. But generally, he was quite cautious. Not always. We find just at the beginning, it's on page 2 of this book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, which is a mass distributed book, that Srila Prabhupada was his first discussion with Bob Cohen, who is now Brahma Tirtha Prabhu. So at this time Bob Cohen was very new. He had been discussing with Srila Prabhupada's disciples, and he was for the first time brought to discuss with Srila Prabhupada directly, to ask Srila Prabhupada questions. One of the first questions Bob Cohen asked was, Srila Prabhupada said that everything is in Krishna. And then Bob Cohen asked, is rascaldom also in Krishna? And Prabhupada replied, yes, Krishna is the biggest rascal. Sometimes when he sees Radharani, he knocks her down on the ground, and while she's protesting, he takes the opportunity to kiss her. This is one of the first things he said to Bob Cohen, and it's mass distributed. But Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that even though Krishna, that he could be called a rascal for doing this, but he is all good. Everything that he does is good. So he is worshipped for that. Krishna is also well known as a thief, as a cheater, as a liar. But he's worshipped for that. He's known as Ranachot, who left the battlefield, which means a coward, basically. But Krishna's worshipped as Ranachot. He is lying up to the present day. There are many people who question this, and they say, well, this seems to be very wrong. And he's stealing the gopis' clothes. It's not every, he stole butter. That seems to be a nice, that seems to be a, alright, for a child to steal butter, alright, okay. The moralists will pass this, alright. But they won't admit that Krishna is stealing the clothes of the gopis, and that's not very good. These so-called, there's one group in India called the Brahmit Kumaris, who they have a picture of baby Krishna, and they're saying that he will come again, because last time he was good, but then he became corrupted when he got older, but this time he'll be only good. So this way they're Brahmit, or mistaken. He is all good. Everything about him is good. His lying is good. His stealing is good. His apparent immorality is good. But it's very difficult for people who are not good to understand this. They have a different understanding of what good means. The understanding of good in this material world is that which pertains to the happiness of the human race. This is Jeremy Bentham's utilitarianism. That can be considered good, which is for the benefit of all. And when he contributes to the all-round happiness of all. And when he said all, he didn't mean the cows, or the pigs, or the chickens, or the trees. He meant all human beings. I don't know if Africans or Indians were included in that. They didn't. Or even women, because I don't think women had been got. They didn't get souls until they're only allowed to have souls. When was that? It was quite late, towards the end of the 18th century, or maybe later, that in Christian theology women got souls. Before that, they didn't have souls. So it's an unusual Western thought is something quite unusual. So they have another idea, what is good? And what is good for mankind, that we will call good. What contributes to the all-around good of all. Of course, different people have different opinions, what is good. But they got it wrong, because they're not human beings, for a start. They think what is good for us, what is good for our body, our mind, and our senses. But they don't understand that the endeavor to be happy on the platform of the body, the mind, and the senses is not at all good. It's just, it's actually opposed to our real good. Therefore, they're called apaswartha parayana. Materialistic people are persons who are attached to that which is detrimental to their own well-being. What could be more foolish than that? What could be more foolish than being attached to something that is detrimental to one's actual self-interest? That, who is that? Everyone in the material world. It's not just the smokers who look at the packet and read smoking kills and then smoke. They're not the only ones who are attached to their non-good. Everyone, even the environmentalists, even the vegetarians, even the save the whale people, Obama, McCain, everyone, top to bottom, everyone is attached to that which is opposed to their self-interest because, what's the verse in this regard? Prabhupada often used to quote, Nate vidu swartagatim hi Vishnu. They don't know that their real self-interest, their real swart, is Vishnu, to worship Vishnu. That's a bad word, swart, among transcendentalists or spiritually minded people, or even among moralistic people. If you say someone in Hindi or a similar language, if you say someone they're just interested in swart, it means their own self-interest. It means they're selfish. But real self-interest is to understand that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if one pursues one's self-interest without understanding that, then his own self-interest will clash with that of others. Therefore, Jeremy Bentham had the idea that what is good is that which contributes to the all-around benefit of everyone. But he had no idea what the all-around benefit is. He could only measure it in terms of the mind, the body, and the senses. And that so-called benefit is no benefit at all, because we're not the body. The body dies. We have to take birth again. According to our actions in this life. And even what is beneficial to the mind and the body and the senses, and what is beneficial to society, no one can agree on that either. That's why you have McCain and what's his name?
Obama.
I got it right. Okay. after a few weeks, one of them's names will be there on the paper all the time, and the other one will be completely forgotten. So you either hit the jackpot or you miss, hit or miss. But anyway, it doesn't. Whatever, Republican, Democrat, they're all cow killers, and none of them's going to do anything actually beneficial for human society. Because they don't know. They cannot help. They'll say, we'll act for the good of the American people, not for the good of the American cows, or chickens, or turkeys, or pigs. Or, as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, in the Vedic conception, they're also praja. The king or the leader of the state is supposed to protect all the living beings, not just the humans. It's this grotesque or gross idea that is being taken from the Bible, that man was given, God gave man dominion over all creatures. So that is interpreted to mean, eat them. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, if someone gives you their baby to look, can you just hold my baby for a few minutes? I'm just going away. Or can you look after the baby this morning? Okay, and come back. What happened? No baby. Well, I had it. It's a horrible example, isn't it? But it's the same thing. Man is given the animals to look after, to care for, to oversee. And we take it to mean that, oh, I'm in charge of them? All right, let's eat them. It's a very nasty interpretation. But the leader of the state is supposed to look after all the citizens. And he can only do that if he himself knows what is beneficial for all living beings. What is the goal of life? The whole civilization is completely off the point and misled because they don't know what the goal of life is. They started off with the wrong idea, thinking that this life is all in all, let us enjoy it, or even if we act religiously, the idea is that we'll go to some heaven which will be something like this, but there'll be unimpeded enjoyment. They don't know that we are servants of Krishna. And that only by acting as servants of Krishna, we can fulfill our actual self-interest. And we can't do good for others either. Even this ecological movement, even the government more and more, government agencies are promoting this, save the planet. But there's the same idea, we'll save the planet so that the future generations can go on enjoying sense gratification. They don't have the idea that Ishavasya Midang Sarvam, everything is controlled by Krishna, therefore we should act in a manner pleasing to Him. Cutting down trees, or even recycling, even if you recycle and you on recycled paper you print newspapers, but it's all rascaldom still, because the message is how to forget Krishna, how to perpetuate our forgetfulness of Krishna. So this is what Srila Prabhupada spoke about repeatedly, again and again and again. And sometimes he spoke about Radha. I started off speaking about Radha and came down to our present situation. We are to go to Vrindavan Dham. Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari. We offer our respects to Radharani, whose body is like molten gold, who is the queen of Vrindavan, who is the goddess, daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and is dear to Hari, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the thief who steals. Hari literally means a thief. So we are to go there. That is especially the aim of the Gauriya Vaishnavas, to go to Vrindavan, the land of Radharani. Radha Padankita Dham Janam Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the land which is marked with the imprints of Radharani's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet, but some people will be looking more for the lotus feet of Radha. So that is the goal to go there. Why is that? Because Radharani, her name means who best worships Krishna. Anaya radhito nunam bhagavan hari vishvara. She who best worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, from this her name is derived. The best worshipper. It means she is prepared to serve in all respects. She is the inspiration for all types of service to Krishna. She is the fountainhead of all kinds of service to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he recommended that we should take shelter of Radharani. What does that mean, taking shelter of Radharani? That means to approach her with the aim of serving Krishna. We cannot approach her in any other way. She's not interested. She has nothing in her personality but service to Krishna. If we want to approach the higher female energy with any other motive than to serve Krishna, then we'll end up with, or we'll, our approach will not be to Radha but to Durga, who keeps us in this material world. Those who want to serve Maya, illusion, she is Maya. She is Durga, very difficult to get out of once we get in this consciousness. Let me be happy without Krishna. Those whose attitude is let me serve Krishna, they have to do so through the female energy, Radharani. Those whose attitude is let me not serve Krishna, they have to do so through the female energy who is Durga. Very difficult. Everything very difficult. In this material world everything is very difficult. Because it's unnatural. To not serve Krishna is unnatural. But it seems natural. Due to our perverted mentality. Just like to drunkards, boozing all the time seems normal and natural. To people addicted to tobacco, to smoke, seems normal. It seems to them very nice, but it's killing them. So in this material world, in the same way, to desire to serve our senses, or to not serve Krishna, it seems normal. It seems like a normal thing to do, to be a good American and do all the things that good Americans do. Wave the flag, kill the cows and turkeys, and go on with life. Or whatever it may be, in any species of life. If we're not serving Krishna, then we're serving Maya, who is the external representation of Radha, or she oversees the perverted tendency to serve Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna. But in this material world, serving Krishna without recognizing that we have to serve Krishna means we forget Krishna. We forget Radha. And we don't even know that we're under the superintendence of Durga. So expert is her Maya Jal, her web of illusion, that we think Ishvaraham Maham Bhogi, I'm the boss around here, I'm controlling, I'm enjoying. We don't even know that we are controlled. This is another point that Srila Prabhupada made again and again and again. We are controlled. Who can deny it? People like to think, I'm in control. I am God. You find many people who apparently quite sincerely claim themselves to be God. Of course, it can't be sincere, because if they're actually sincere, they would recognize that they're not God. But they seem to be quite convinced, and they seem to expect others to accept what they say. And to them it seems like, you know, it's just obvious. I'm God. Srila Prabhupada would point out, you are not the controller, you are controlled. When you eat a lot of food and the next day it's all ready to burst out the other end, you can't control it. So how can we say we are the controller? We have a toothache. God has a toothache. No. God has a hard time trying to figure out where he's going to get the money from to go to the dentist, because it's so damn expensive in this country. Happy life for dentists. They're not happy. So people are so stupid. It's just amazing. That's what Durga does. She makes everyone completely stupid. So we think that we are in control. It's just, it should be obvious that we're not in control, but we think it's obvious that I am in control. Mad. Everyone is mad. So Srila Prabhupada, he pointed us toward the land of Vrindavan, the land of Radha. We have to go there to serve Krishna under her direction. Meantime, here we are thinking, I'm the supreme controller. I'm the enjoyer of my senses. Religion is good if God gives me some facility to enjoy my senses more. Or otherwise just cancel God or convert God into some light or power undefined. Everything that goes on in the name of religion in this world, priti vite jato kichu dharma name chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati rephrased the first words of Bhagavatam, second verse of Bhagavatam. And everything that goes on in this world in the name of religion, it's simply a hoax. That's all. Simply a hoax. God give me this, God give me that. There's no God, we're all God. God is dead, God is a light, God is a power, no name. Don't give him any name. God's someone to be remembered on Sunday only, for 1 hour at most. And don't define him. If he gives us something, it's okay. Otherwise, forget it. Or create some new gods. That's a popular one in India. There's so many, you can't even keep up with them. There's new ones popping up all the time. Srila Prabhupada came to give Bhagavad Gita as it is. Here is God, Krishna, as he describes himself. Who could be a better authority than himself? So many times people come up to us and say, what do you believe? As if it matters what we believe. That's because they think, all right, what do you believe? And then I'll compare it with what I believe, and if it doesn't fit with my opinion, then I'll shoot it down. Because they think, what I believe, that is right. So what do you believe? It doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe. God, the Supreme Controller, is not dependent upon our belief. I woke up this morning, I was in a good mood, so today I believe in God. Okay, God, today you can exist. And tomorrow, if I wake up in a bad mood, then I'll be an atheist again. Today, God doesn't exist. I don't believe in God, therefore there is no God. So much nonsense goes on in the name of religion. So Srila Prabhupada brought Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is God. Can you give a better definition? Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shandang bhaga itingina. One who is replete with all opulences in full. One who owns everything. All, who is all-powerful, who knows everything, who is all-beautiful, who is all-famous, who is all-renounced. This is God. Krishna fits that description. You don't even know what the definition of God is. We'll give the definition and we know who fits that definition. So this is all-around perfect theology. If you have anything better, bring it. If you don't, you should accept it, if you're actually honest and sincere. So to understand Radha means that after we go through all of this, understanding Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because He's all-powerful, all-opulent, all-famous, all-beautiful, all these things. And after going through that, we finally understand that, well, actually, Krishna's not all-powerful because Radharani controls Him. And Radharani is more beautiful than Him. And in Vrindavan, which is the only place which really matters anyway, Radharani is more famous than Him and more opulent than Him. So, it's a very high subject matter. Very high. It's not a matter for public preaching because it will be misunderstood. This is for devotees. It's very difficult even for many Vaishnavas to understand. I mean, I'm not saying that I understand, or we understand, or who understands. Krishna Himself doesn't understand Radharani. So how are we to say that? Today I will explain about Radharani. We're going to have a course, special seminar on Radharani. Then after that we'll have a test, and if you get 70%, we'll give you a pass, and then you can say, yes, I'm certified, I understand Radharani. Well, we can do that if we like, but Krishna, if he does the test, he'll fail it. So we can't say that we understand Radharani, but we can glorify her. That she is glorified even Krishna accepts. Yes, she is Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan. I am her servant. So, it's understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart, subject matter of Bhagavatam. It's not understandable simply with the mind or the intelligence, but one who is blessed by Radharani, by the acharyas who are the representatives of Radharani, to be absorbed in the mood of service to Krishna, they can be blessed to have some inkling of understanding this topic of how great is Radharani. But yeah, it's not for general preaching to the public. To persons who are somewhat developed in Krishna consciousness and who have faith, among such persons we can discuss this. But that should be very cautiously also. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't discuss the intimate leelas. He said, yes, we can, when we're enough purified, we can go to Vrindavan, live there, and then we can read the books of the Goswamis in which these topics are discussed. some very intimate pastimes, which are certain to be misunderstood by persons who are not fully pure. Therefore, they should not be discussed, except among most advanced devotees. So it's not that this subject is banned, but it's restricted. There's a question of eligibility. Adhika. Who is eligible, they can enter into that. Those who are not eligible, if they try to enter, then it will spoil their spiritual life, and it will spoil the spiritual life of others also. To openly discuss these topics is not only not beneficial for society, but it's actually detrimental, because then people, they misunderstand, and either they think themselves to be already on a very high level when they're not, and therefore they don't properly follow sadhana, and they just imagine themselves to be able to enter into and understand these intimate leelas, in which case, while they're still materially conditioned. And then they, in this way, they insult Radha and Krishna and the whole process of devotional service and all the acharyas. And then for others, they just say, what is this? This is just a sex religion. It's just, what is this? So they misunderstand. Everyone is prone to misunderstand. So it's highly confidential topic. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Are there any questions about this? If there are any questions, I'll continue. If not,
Maharaj, please accept my obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
The question is, since I'm so fallen, I do not even have the authority to ask, but if you can just give some hints as to how one can improve the sadhana on a day-to-day basis.
Some hints how to improve the sadhana on a day-to-day basis. Well, what would you say if you were asked that? People ask you that, don't they? Isn't it? As you are an experienced devotee, do devotees not ask you that yourself? Then what do you reply?
Just chanting, but then the question is how to have that mood to be able to think always of Krishna and never forget.
Well, to think of Krishna and never forget Him, how to have that mood, that's why we have to do sadhana bhakti, because we don't have, we may have a desire for that, but we have so many other desires also. So that desire, it pops up from time to time, and most of the time it's submerged in a whole bunch of other desires. So that's why we have the process of sadhana bhakti, it's to gradually come to that stage. Then we have to do sadhana. And it is a challenge, especially in the modern age with busy working life. Of course, most people are not nearly as busy as most people in India nowadays. So it's even more difficult over there. India's economy is growing because people are working not like donkeys. The donkeys wouldn't work that hard. So that's one reason the economy is growing, because the 16-hour day is normal. So if you have a lot of people working far harder than the human body was and mind was designed to, then probably the economy will grow. Or what's the benefit of that? That's another question. So anyway, yeah, there are the distractions of modern life. Well, it's ultimately up to oneself to make it a priority. But we are weak, therefore association is needed. Pray to Radharani. Yeah, but ultimately, you see, you can pray, but ultimately it's up to, we can pray, but ultimately it's up to us to do it. If we just pray, oh Radha, please help me improve my sadhana, and then the next morning, oh, I don't feel like it. Hey Radha, come and chant my rounds. It doesn't work. You have to do it yourself. So association is very important. Srila Prabhupada, he very much wanted that we have rural communities so that people can live simply and in association of devotees, and chant Hare Krishna. With that association, with that atmosphere, and also the idea is that there's less work. Now, one problem I see is that many of our Grihastha devotees, they don't want to live simply. They want to earn more money and spend money on all kinds of useless things which people don't need, but because we're locked into this materialistic society, we think that we need so many things which we don't. Furniture, for instance, you don't need furniture. Most furniture is superficial. All kinds of cosmetics, just like I see in many devotees' homes, they have all kinds of cosmetics, just like the Karmis do. For instance, and then all kinds of toys for the children which they don't play with anyway. So cut down on your needs and then focus on Krishna. But yeah, it's simple living, but it hasn't been taken up, simple living on farm communities, because our devotees, they're addicted to city life, and they think that, well, we can't live without electricity, and what will our kids do if we make them into devotees? What will they do if we don't like it? What will they do if they don't like it? We could put it round the other way. If we bring them up as karmis and they don't like it, apart from that, it's the responsibility of Vaishnava parents to raise their children as devotees, not as karmis or karmis come devotees. So the or half and half kind of thing. So Srila Prabhupada's revolutionary plan was to stop living like non-devotees and live like devotees, and then we can be devotees. It's very difficult to be a devotee if your lifestyle is more or less the same as that of the average materialist. So that was Srila Prabhupada's proffered solution. He didn't say that everyone had to go and live on a farm, but that was the best solution that he offered. Now, you can also live in corporate materialistic society, but then you have all the drawbacks of that also. It's something like, you know, now the person who's smoking is saying, oh, yes, it's, I'm getting cancer. And what do you expect? If we live in materialistic society, it's more likely that we're going to suffer from all the effects of living in materialistic society. Anyway, if our resolution is strong, then we can be strong in any situation. But as we're not strong, admitting that we're not strong, it's better to put ourselves in a situation which is more conducive to becoming strong. Anyway, try to get good association and be strong. Anything else?
How does one enter into the service?
Yeah.
What is her expectation?
How does one enter into the service of Radharani? One does so at the start, at the beginning, with sadhana bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who is in his Vrindavan form an intimate servant of Srimati Radharani, has given us directions in his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has translated as the Nectar of Devotion, which was written under the express order and direction of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna combined, how to enter into the service of Radharani. It begins with Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. He's given the process. First of all, we should have some faith, then we should associate with devotees. The next thing is Bhajana Kriya, what we call the life of bhajan or sadhana, in which there are 64 processes given, some do's, some do nots. So follow the standard process of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada has given us, and gradually we'll become eligible to enter into. Actually, from the very beginning, it's under the direction of Radharani. Mahatmanas tumang partha daiving prakriti mahashrita. This devotional service is conducted under the spiritual energy, which means Radharani. What does she want of us? She wants pure unmotivated service that is cultivated by the process given by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So, follow the process of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada has given us, which is the same process that Rupa Goswami has given us. Everything will manifest in due course of time. But there's no shortcut to surrender. You can't just cut it out. I find nowadays in ISKCON we hear the word prem used a lot and surrender not used a lot. But Srila Prabhupada, he used the word surrender a lot. The verse he quoted most by far is Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Abandon all varieties of religion, worldly religion, and just surrender to me. So if we surrender to Krishna through the process of devotional service, everything else will come automatically. But if we try to jump into praying, bypassing surrender or thinking we don't have to surrender, it won't happen. It just doesn't happen. There's no praying without full surrender to Krishna. So it's not such a cheap thing that we can just talk of praying and then take it. It's like people, they want to take, there's some drug called ecstasy, right? Some, you just drop some pills and you get ecstasy. It's not that easy or cheap. It is attainable. It is easy. In one sense it's easy, yes. But it's easy in the sense that if we chant Hare Krishna, if we're sincere and we go on with the process, then even from the beginning we get a higher taste, isn't it? Otherwise, why should we follow? So even from the beginning, Radharani's mercy is there. She is Ladini Shakti. She is the pleasure potency. She gives pleasure to Krishna. And if we serve Krishna, we come in contact with that Ladini Shakti, bliss potency. So we feel happy. So that is the blessing of Radharani. So definitely the Radha's mercy is there. But at the same time, we have to understand that we have to fully surrender, we have to become free from material desires to fully enter into the land of Vrindavan, Radharani's land of service. So it is easy, yeah, very easy. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, serve Krishna, there's nothing difficult. The only difficulty is our own rascal minds and our own tendency not to serve Krishna. But that can also be overcome by the process given by Rupa Goswami again with enthusiasm, determination, patience, following the process, then we can come to pure devotional service. Yeah, you can sit up. Also, you have to train them also. Training should begin early. The earlier the better. The later you leave it, the more difficult it becomes. No children are trained in anything in America. It's considered something wrong to tell them what to do. Very strange society. Yeah.
Maharaj, I have a two-part question, if you will, please. Could you, first part, could you explain the importance of for devotees to read Srimad Bhagavatam? And the second part is, could you expand upon Srila Prabhupada's directions on how to approach, how to read Srimad Bhagavatam?
All right.
What these confidential pastimes are described.
Yeah, in the 10th canto, the confidential pastimes, they're not described in so much detail, actually. Right. They're hinted at more. They are described, but great detail is given in other works. Well, Bhagavatam itself describes why we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhyo hridyavarudyate tagativi su sru sibish takshanat. Immediately, the Supreme Lord is Isha, is the first word, the important word of that quote, comes in the, it's the last word of the third line, I just put in the fourth line. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is established in one's heart as soon as one seriously cultivates the study of Bhagavatam. There are many verses in the Bhagavatam itself describing what are the benefits of studying Bhagavatam. So, I'll say one. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyamekamamalam Jnanam Param Giyate Atra Jnana Viraga Sahitam Bhakti Avishkritam Tach Chindan Supatan Vicharana Paro Vimuchyanaraha. This means that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. There's no materialistic religion here. It's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Herein, knowledge which is very dear to the Paramahamsas, the perfected beings, is described. That knowledge is knowledge of pure devotional service. How to live in this world with knowledge and renunciation of this world, living in this world without being entangled in this world. Therefore, one should hear Bhagavatam, study it carefully, apply one's intelligence to understand it, and if one does this, then he'll go back to Godhead. So there's one of many, many verses describing that. And how to study? Well, Srila Prabhupada used that, you were saying, up to the 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada used one adjective in the preface to the Bhagavatam when he said that if one studies this Bhagavatam with the original Sanskrit, the translation of each word, the translation, the prose translation of the verse, and the purports, if one studies this carefully, Srila Prabhupada uses this adjective, then he's sure to become a God-realized soul by the end of the 9th canto. So carefully, that's the same word I was just quoting. Supatan, study carefully, nicely. Chachrinvan, supatan, vicharana paro. Bhagavatam says, applying one's judgment, applying one's intelligence. It's not just reading parrot-like, but try to understand what is being stated therein. So it's a big subject. I won't say more now.
I just see sometimes devotees have a tendency to just breeze through Bhagavatam.
Well, if they breeze through the Bhagavatam, they're doing better than a lot of others who don't, who never even pick it up. Many don't even have it in their home. So that's not good. I often tell people, if you want to make advancement in spiritual life, throw out your TV and fill up your home with Prabhupada's books. And they laugh. I don't know why they laugh. I'm serious. Of course, TV can be used for watching Krishna conscious subject matter too, but it's study of Bhagavatam is essential for devotees. TV, even Krishna conscious TV shows, that's optional, but study of Shastra is required. Of course, some people are not educated. You don't get that many people like that in America. But if you are educated, then we need to study Shastra because we're already programmed with so much nonsense. And Bhagavatam addresses all the nonsense and says, this is sense. Etaj Jnanam, and Bhagavad Gita, this is knowledge. And everything else is simply an obstacle to Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Converts the jiva into an ass. Jaro vidya jato maya bhaibhav tomar bhajane badha. Moha janamiya anitya samsare jivke kareye gadha. Which means that mundane knowledge is simply a display of maya, display of illusion. And it's an obstacle to cultivating Krishna consciousness. It causes more illusion for the jiva and converts him into an ass. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's assessment of mundane knowledge. The Srimad Bhagavatam is pure spirit, concentrated spiritual knowledge from beginning to end. So please study that. And there's no time actually, so much wonderful Vaishnava literature. But this should be the basis, this Srimad Bhagavatam. Every devotee, I mean, even to read once is not nearly enough. Even to read 1,000 times is never enough. The more we read, the more we appreciate. But at least one time in a lifetime, devotees should go through. But actually, if we do read through the whole Bhagavatam, then we'll definitely want to read it again. If we're actually reading it, then it becomes a lifelong habit. So please study this, yeah. Okay, so shall we finish there? Alright, yes. Well, Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write books, especially sannyasis, and he specifically told me to. So, some of my books are here, but that's not nearly all of them. Where's all the rest? Brahmacharya is there. Message to Youth, Glimpses, My Memories. Anyway, I wrote a few books, and if anyone wants, they can take them. There's the short version of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Usually after reading it, people want to get the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, so be warned in advance. Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. Practical guide. What to do. What not to do. Glimpses of traditional Indian life. I was talking about this